you can go to the back. Miss Kristen is waiting for you. All right. Well, this is always a fun service for us, and we are so much smaller. It feels just like family, where we are able to come around together and just worship God, to be still. I really had felt and shared with the band tonight that I felt like God just wanted to give us a holy moment. Because when Jesus came to earth, when he traded heaven for earth, it was a holy moment in history. When Jesus came to this earth to begin to fulfill God's plan for redeeming us so that we could know God and experience life with him. And sometimes the Christmas songs and even the Christmas season can become trite and be so confusing with so many other things, but I felt like tonight God wanted to make this a holy moment for us, where we would just be able to stop, to pause, and be in his presence, to just be with him. And so we're thankful that you are here to do that with us tonight. My name is Travis Phillips, and I'm the lead pastor here at Antioch. And we love family, and we love that you're a part of this family. And if you are new here, or you're a guest with us, we pray that it feels like family to you, even if you're here for the evening or if you end up staying for longer. We're going to look at Luke 2 tonight. Where else would we be except for Luke 2, which is where the Christmas story of Jesus, but we're going to be there tonight. If you want to turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 2, I want to begin reading for us in verse 8. Before I do that, I just want to share and really express something that we all know, that this time of year, the Christmas season, is filled with great joy and wonder and excitement and family, and that's what we think about when we think about this time of year, and those things are true, and we experience those things on the best days of Christmas, on the best days of this time of year. However, there are other things that come up, it seems, during this time of year, and you have probably experienced those as well, and some of that is just some of the stresses of this time of year, the expectations of finding presents or pleasing people or getting enough time with this family or that family, and having all, and still trying to work and have enough money to get the things you want. It can just, there can be normal stresses like that, that complicate this time of year, that cause more tension and more conflict in families or in homes. And that's just, it rises to the surface during this time of year. Another thing that comes up during this time of year is often when there has been pain or loss during the year, or maybe in years past, those things can rise to the surface. You can just feel the sting of missing someone that you once spent this time of year with. And there can be a sadness or a pain that comes up during this time of year, because it's supposed to be about family and it's supposed to be about being together. And I just wanted to acknowledge those are real emotions and tensions that happen during this time of year. And I believe a lot of those things come up and we just have to deal with them, right? I mean, honestly, they will come up, and it's how we respond. And so I'm not saying just deal with it. It's how we respond to those emotions, to the pain, to the tension of the year, how or not we can respond to the leading of God, how we can keep our minds fixed on Jesus and the joy with which he desires to give us. Tonight, we lit the candle of joy, and we're going to read out of this passage in Luke, and we're going to be reminded about the joy that comes in knowing Jesus. And so anytime something tries to replace joy in this time of year, we need to go back to this place, and we'll touch it again, what it looks like to place joy into our lives. But read with me in Luke 2. I'm going to begin reading in verse 8. It says, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." And when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. So we want to step for a moment into the lives of these shepherds. You may have heard it said about shepherds that they are one of the lowliest, that's one of the lowliest jobs that you could have in this day or time. It was not a meaningful job. That doesn't mean you didn't have any power or influence in society. You were the guys who spent the majority of your time on the backside of a mountain with sheep. And you were smelly, you were in some ways outcast to the society. And there's a whole message that you could preach on how God doesn't choose the elite of this world to reveal his plans and purposes to, but he comes to those that are common, sometimes to those who are rejected. But we have this glimpse of these shepherds' lives out in the fields where they were watching their flock like they did every day of their lives, out ostracized from people, and they get this revelation from God. In fact, angels give this revelation from God. They declare that the Messiah has come. The Messiah has come. And these guys are so taken back by what's going on, they say, "We must go immediately to Bethlehem and check out what this is that these angels are declaring." And so they go in haste. They leave. I don't know if they left one guy behind to watch the sheep or if they just said, "This is too big. We are going, and we are going as quickly as we can." And they go and they find Mary and Joseph and the baby. And then what we see is that they go back through the streets. So you kind of have to picture these shepherds who are outcasts and who maybe are not known for their cleanliness, but they're going now, I'm picturing them going through the streets of Bethlehem. Maybe as they're going back out to their sheep, and they're declaring what they have been told and what they have seen. And it says, all who heard were amazed. Now, what the angels declared is that there is a baby that has come. You will find him lying in a manger. And they said, "We have brought good tidings of great joy for all people." So there is good news that will bring great joy to all people. The news of Jesus brings great joy. And that is just a true statement. The news about who Jesus is, about what he at this point was coming to do, brings great joy. It brings great joy to those who hear it. And so I want to take you a little bit deeper into the shepherd's life or the people of Israel. Why did they respond with great amazement and with great joy? Why was there this excitement in their hearts? Because as a people, and they really consider themselves a people, we don't get that as much. We are a nation that is very individualistic, and we don't consider the history of our people for the most part. But the Israelites and many people in the world today, they consider the history of their people. And so they knew the history. They knew the ups and downs of Israel, the slavery that they had been through. They knew the times where they had been oppressed, where they had been scattered and didn't even have a homeland. And through those times, the ones that remained faithful to God listened to the prophets. The prophets are those who walked and heard from God and declared the truth of God to his people. And those prophets continuously declared these messages, and we've gone over many of them in the last few weeks, but they continuously declared these messages about a Messiah, about one who would come and bring great joy, who would bring great hope, who would bring great peace, who would sit on the throne of David, the most recognized leader in their people's history, that he would sit on David's throne forever and ever. And so we've seen in the last few weeks how that brought hope, how it brought peace, knowing that God loved them, he cared about them, and he was coming in the form of a Messiah, the Son of God, that would come. And in fact, those prophets declared even that he would come as a baby. That's how you would know it. Born in Bethlehem, born of a virgin. And now, the Messiah has come. For those that would believe, for those that would have their eyes open to see, for those that would open their ears to hear, that would look past the dirty, smelly shepherd walking down their street and would hear the words that would proclaim that the Messiah has come. The Son of God who had been promised, who would sit on David's throne, who would bring great joy. This is good news. This is something to be excited about. And so people were filled with anticipation. Now here's the misconception that many people in this day fell into and that me and you can fall into as well. Many people thought that this Messiah would literally come and would establish an earthly kingdom, would overthrow any government that was currently oppressing or in charge or over the people of Israel, and would overthrow that government and they would take supreme power in the land. Many people saw that. In fact, we see some of those closest to Jesus. John the Baptist had some notion that that would happen. Even some of Jesus' disciples kept waiting for that time to come. And Jesus' response was always, "No, the kingdom of God is at hand. It is near. Look and see that the blind receive sight, that the deaf hear, that the mute speak, that those who had had demonic activity in their life, they have been set free. The kingdom of God has come near. God's rule and his reign are here. He is with us. Emmanuel, the name of Jesus, God with us. And it brings great joy, even though for many people, they would look at the circumstances of their people and say, well, we're still under Roman authority. We have not been placed in this spot of being the elite of the earth, or a nation that has its place in this world, that people look up to, bow down to, come to. And that wasn't ever God's plan. His plan, first of all, was to come and to serve. His plan was to come and bring right relationship to humanity and the Father, God in heaven. That was his purpose. And it wasn't even just for Israel, but it was for the entire earth, so that we all may have great joy. And we can learn this same lesson in our personal lives, where we feel like, man, my life is stinky. My life is messed up. Nobody looks to me for anything. My life is hard. I have not climbed the ladder of success that I thought I would. Whatever it may be, or wherever you find yourself in life, sometimes we expect that Jesus will come and make all of that right. And life will be easy, and life will be good, and yeah, then I'll be happy, then I'll have joy. But joy is a much deeper thing, and it is not dependent upon your circumstances. Joy is never dependent upon your circumstances. Oh, good, Jesus made all things right. You know, he has come, and so all my circumstances are right. All my relational issues are now better, and now I can have joy. That's not how it works. There is a place of deep joy that we find simply in knowing God, simply in learning to walk with him, knowing that our Father in heaven is good and that he is for us, that he will never leave us nor forsake us. And that all the pain that we have felt in life, all the junk maybe that has happened to us, that is not God's fault. Because sometimes those things are the things that we allow to drive a wedge between us and God. While all the time, his heart is broken. His heart is broken for the pain that you've gone through. And maybe even more so, his heart is broken because now you've rejected him. And he longs to come in and bring healing. To bring healing to your heart. And when your heart receives healing, you can have joy without any circumstances changing. Even when the relationship is still difficult or hard or takes work, you can have joy. And when you have joy that exudes from the inside and goes out, then that's when circumstances end up changing. That's usually actually what happens. It doesn't really work that the circumstance change and then we get joy. We think that's how it happens, but then the next time our circumstances go bad or sour again, all of a sudden we lost our joy. Because circumstances will go sour again. Life is not perfect. So what we have to learn to do is find the joy that comes with knowing Jesus. And it comes. It comes. When you think about your life, where you could be, where are the hopelessness that maybe you have felt at times. And then you receive this joy from Jesus. Now, real quick, the last 3 weeks we've lit three other candles. A candle of hope, the candle of peace, and the candle of love. Candle of hope, peace, and love. And when we start receiving those things from God, and we light those particular candles because we believe that's what Jesus came to bring. He brings his love. He brings peace. He brings hope. Without those things, we don't have much to live for. And that's what he came to bring. And when we have those things, when you really experience hope in Jesus, because hopelessness is devastating. It is devastating our world. People waking up day in and day out without hope. People waking up without peace, that life is tumultuous, it's chaotic, and maybe this season only accentuates that. People are crumpling underneath that weight. People are asking to be loved for who they are, accepted for who they are. And God, with every single one of those deep needs of humanity, those longings of the human heart, God is coming and he's saying, I am bringing my hope that cannot be replaced, that cannot be stolen. I am bringing my peace that will fill your life. I am coming to love you and love you unconditionally. And so he comes, and when we experience those things, we absolutely will experience joy. How can we not? It doesn't matter anything else that's going on in life. How can we not experience joy? The joy of knowing his hope and his love, and his peace. And so when we start applying then this joy that comes from knowing his hope, love, and peace, then circumstances begin to change. Because we're looking at life differently. We're coming into a negative situation and we're bringing joy and hope and life and peace. And then the circumstance begins to change. Other people's outlook begin to change. That's how you bring change, because you're bringing the presence of Jesus. Because it's his presence that brings us peace. It's his presence that brings us hope. It's his presence that assures us of his love and his nearness. It's his presence that brings us into places of full joy. It's his presence. It's not simply believing or like, oh yeah, I love the Christmas story. It feels peaceful. Or it is about his presence. It is about walking with him day in and day out. It is not doing it once or twice a year. It's not even just a Sunday thing. It is knowing that God wants to have relationship with us. He wants us to know him. He wants us to know that he is a counselor, that he is a comforter, that he is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. That's who he is. And when we know those things, that's when we worship. That's when we worship him. That's why we in this church, we love to sing. We love to have that time to praise and worship because he is so good. And that's why you see people raising their hands, jumping up and down, getting on their knees, whatever crazy thing you think they're doing. It hopefully is out of this place of being overwhelmed with the goodness, the life, the love, the hope, the joy that's found in knowing God. And then we take that with us everywhere that we go. Isaiah 49:13 says this, "Shout for joy, you heavens. Rejoice, you earth. Burst into song, you mountains. For the Lord comforts his people and will have compassion on his afflicted ones." So even tonight, if you are feeling afflicted, if you are just feeling life is hard, life is unfair, life is difficult, God wants to come and shower you with compassion, shower you with peace so that your response will be joy, will be shouting for joy, will be rejoicing, will be bursting into song. Now listen, I know that it doesn't always look like that. There are painful things that happen. There are times for mourning. But joy in those places still remains through hope, through an inner security that God is good, that there is a new day, that the sun will rise again. And so I have joy in the Lord. He is the one that sustains me. And so tonight, let us respond to God. Let us respond to God. And this is how I want you to do it. The band is going to come up and we're going to have a time to respond to what he's doing. There may be something in you that has had the joy of the Lord stolen. In Nehemiah, it says, the joy of the Lord is our strength. If you feel weak, if you feel tired, maybe God is wanting to infuse your life with joy. Infuse your life with joy. And if you're having a hard time getting there, I believe that tonight maybe some of the things that God is wanting to stir in you or remind you about is he is the one that loves you for who you are. That he is the one that brings peace to your otherwise chaotic life. And he is the one who gives hope. Even though all else feels hopeless, he is the one that gives hope. He is the giver of every good gift. He is the giver of every good gift. That's who he is. And so, God, we want to respond to you tonight. Respond to you as the one who is the giver of every good gift. And tonight, God, we thank you for the gift of love that you have poured out on us, that you've poured out on this world. The gift of peace, that we can know peace in you, that you are in control, that the weight and the burden doesn't fall on my shoulders. I'm not consumed under the pressures of this life, but you carry them on your shoulders and bring me peace. And you bring me hope. You bring me a hope for my life and for this world. And so, God, let our response be joy. Let it be joy. Joy in your presence. Joy in your presence. Again, I feel like God is just wanting to draw near to you tonight in a way like maybe you've never experienced before or haven't in a long time, that you would know the nearness of God. And just like the shepherds who rejoiced when God came near, just like the people that heard the shepherd's message rejoiced and were amazed because God was near. He had come. know that God tonight has come. Not has come in general, but he has come to you. And you have the opportunity to respond to him. So tonight, let's stand together right where you are. Let's go ahead and stand together and respond to him. You can respond in singing. You can respond by coming to the front and just getting on your knees and thanking him and rejoicing. But let's not leave this place tonight without responding to God and walking out of here with a fresh new joy.